This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
happy Thursday. I'm happy to report there's NFL game on tonight. How about that? Jeffrey, in the midst of all this ridiculousness from the University of Memphis and the newspaper, Jeffrey called me last night and suggested that we should just talk about Browns and Bengals, the Battle of Ohio.
A two-hour preview.
Two straight hours of Browns and Bengals. I mean, that's a fun game.
On paper, it's a fun game.
You got a matchup of two number one picks.
Yep.
Two Heisman Trophy winners.
Yep.
They're both in Ohio.
One of which still has hope.
The Baker Mayfield story is, I was reading Mike Lombardi over at The Athletic, where he was talking about the quarterbacks in that class.
Yeah.
And he basically, like Lamar is, you know, already a star. And then basically he said Josh has, you know, has a chance.
Yeah.
To be, he was talking about who has the chance to join the $40 million club. Now, I don't think just because you become a franchise starting quarterback, just because a franchise commits to you,
right,
you automatically have to make what Patrick, like, I don't think if Josh Allen gets another deal, he should necessarily get what Patrick Mahomes has gotten, right? And Deshaun Watson.
Sure.
But that was his thing, is who's going to join the $40 million club?
Yeah, whether or not it's right, though, typically that is. Like, Mahomes is going to be the outlier, but usually if you're a quarterback, like whoever gets
you
the
gotta
next...
You got to pay. If you decide to throw in with Josh Allen, you got to pay him Deshaun Watson money?
Yep.
He's not that. It's like max salaries in the NBA.
Exactly.
Max salaries, some of the max salary people are... Shaq.
Exactly.
And some are not. Or Mike Conley.
Right.
Although with all due respect.
LeBron and Mike Conley making the same
amount. I mean, not Shaq. LeBron and Mike Conley. Yeah, they're max salaries. Yeah. So, and he basically just said, like, Baker, he kind of crossed off Baker. He said he's too small. He can't see well. He gets passes batted down. He's great running. He's great rolling to his right.
Yeah.
To his right. but he's not great rolling to his left, and he's not great in the pocket, and everybody's on to him now, and that's that. But it didn't, you know, and Darnold said Darnold keeps making stupid decisions, always has, and is not that accurate.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Josh Rosen is done. I mean, he's sitting in the stands.
We still have hope. He's the next Rich Gannon.
It'll be a fun game. I'm looking forward to it. Fun game. It has intrigue in a way that you wouldn't think Browns Bengals.
Correct. They put it at the right part of the schedule.
It's
put
yeah, this they're, on. They're not 0-7 yet. They're not 1-6 yet.
Exactly. Put this still on this part of the schedule, and let's see what happens.
There you go. We did a good job of not talking about anything else yet. Let
Proud
me tell you about what's happening on the show. The Jeff Perlman. He's going to join us in the next segment. He is the author. His next book coming out. He's written a bazillion books. Showtime was one of him on the
great book
on the Showtime Lakers, as you might imagine. Now he's revisited the Lakers. Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the crazy years of the Lakers dynasty. It comes out here in September 22nd, which is coming up soon, next week. Comes out next week. And so we will talk to him about all of that. He had written this book. It was almost done when Kobe died.
Yeah.
And one of the challenges is that it's about the Lakers from, you know, from 96 to 04.
Right.
Right. While they were all that era Lakers, not Kobe now. I mean,
correct.
Not now, not Kobe in his last 5 years,
right.
Not Kobe with when he was winning more titles, but this is Kobe, and Kobe during that period was kind of a brat.
Yeah, I mean, remember after every game, Shaq would call him Showboat.
Yeah, so
he referred to him as Showboat.
So here you've written this thing, and we'll talk to him about this. You come off as so everybody loves Kobe now, and this one of the most significant books to come out in the wake of Kobe's death that involves Kobe. Is this book, and it's going to be about Kobe the brat.
Right.
And you wonder if people are going to just go after Jeff Perlman for not deifying Kobe. Kobe the girl's dad. You know, Kobe the, you know, like what Kobe became.
Sure.
Kobe the, you know, the Oscar winner. Right? Kobe all of that. And instead, it's this sort of young, immature Kobe. Who's going to be? It'll be interesting to talk to him about how he negotiated that, because I imagine that is one of the challenges. It's funny to write Showtime Lakers and then to write about these Lakers. It's interesting how the characters align. Showtime Lakers, you had either Kareem Abdul-Jabbar versus Shaq on these Lakers.
Yeah,
right. Showtime Lakers. Pat Riley, these Lakers, Phil.
Yep.
Showtime Lakers, Magic, these Lakers, Kobe. It really, like, they line up perfectly.
They kind of rhyme.
Yeah, but they line up.
Yeah.
Like, there is these dominant coach personality, this dominant
big
man.
When I say rhyme, I don't mean, like, I mean in the sense of, like, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes.
Yeah.
Like, it's... It's not the exact same thing, but it definitely is in that same vein.
And then this superstar, they each have a superstar. So anyway, we'll talk to Jeff Perlman about that in the next segment. Chris Harrington's going to join us. If you didn't read Chris Harrington's exposition on tacos on Summer Avenue.
Important work.
Really?
Important work.
Important work he did.
Yes.
I'll be honest. I have never read that much about tacos in my life.
But don't you feel honored that you did now?
And like, I don't know how many words it was, but it was probably 30,000 words about Summer Avenue tacos. He didn't even, like, he went to taco trucks and just got tacos. Like,
yes.
There's no burritos discussed in there. There's no quesadillas discussed
in there. No, he got to the nitty-gritty.
He just did tacos and like, everything you could possibly want to know about Summer Avenue tacos, just not only read it, but save it. Read his piece and save his piece and listen to him talk about it with us at 10 o'clock. He also has another column up. He's weighed in on his Memphis 10 is up, where he has talked a little bit about football and COVID and all of that. So we'll talk to Chris. Plus, of course, there's more NBA playoffs to get 2. And
game anyway, 2 tonight.
That is the show. So Memphis put out a statement last night saying that the number, there are 42 players, 42 people in the athletic program who were active cases with COVID, and that the numbers that were otherwise reported were, quote unquote, significantly overstated. And that's the CIA and WMC, I think, too, both actually reported
correct
that it was 42 football players, right, or 46.
42 of the football program, I yeah believe, is what yeah they both reported.
So I'll be honest. I'm not going to spend much time on this. I think it's stupid. No one cares. I don't mean no one cares. We care about COVID, and we care about COVID, and we care about public health, and we care about the football program, and we care about everything. No one cares whether it's 42, 36, 38. How many did Oklahoma have?
Let me double check, but it was in the
40s,
I believe.
How many did Tennessee have?
I think that one was 44.
Tennessee had 44, whatever it is. I thought Tennessee had 44. You know what LSU said they had? Everybody.
Yeah,
LSU basically said everybody. All of our football players have gotten it.
Don't have tech now.
I mean, they didn't give an exact number, but everybody's gotten it. The idea that there is this ongoing sort of war between the local newspaper and the one of the yeah, it's the local newspaper. It's the only one. And at a time when people should, like, that program is doing great. They have a coach that people like. They're coming off a Cotton Bowl. They're 1-0, and I just don't see the point of refuting the number unless you're going to give – like, if you are the University of Memphis and you say that the numbers that are out there – and they actually have a quote – an attributed – like, it's attributed. It's not some anonymous quote this time from someone from the health department. And if you say the numbers are wrong, well, give the right number. Like, give the right number. If you say that number's wrong, well, tell us what the right – who cares? I'm serious. I don't care. You can tell me the number's 52 or 26. I don't give a flip. It doesn't matter. Like, people think there's going to be COVID outbreaks. So why not give the number? And I get not. And listen, I was someone who said early on that I don't care if they give. Once football season began, I cared that the health department know the numbers because they need to know where the outbreaks are, right? But
yes.
But there was this sort of national outcry about why aren't football programs revealing their numbers? And I'm like, I don't care if they reveal their numbers. As long as the health department knows, it is a competitive – there is a competitive aspect to it. If you're playing a team and, you know, you want to keep them guessing as to how many people are going to be there. It's just part of football in 2020. So, whatever. If they don't want to reveal it, we'll see on Saturday how many players are missing, et cetera. They're not playing this week. They're not playing this week. And now there is a significant outbreak. And so now it strikes me, you could say, all right, in the view of the significant outbreak, we will tell you how many number. Tell me how many people. This is what's happening. But it's very hard to refute the number if you're not going to give the number.
Yes.
If you say their number's wrong, just say what number's right. And then fine, we can move on. But the truth of the matter is, no one cares anyway. You don't have to refute the number. It just now here we are talking about it again. I think would we have been talking about this? No.
No.
I didn't talk about it yesterday. I didn't talk about it on a
GP show. Have we talked about Auburn? Have we talked about Tennessee? Have we talked about Oklahoma? I mean, I get it. They're playing Missouri State, but supposedly they set out like 20 guys on Saturday.
Everyone either do or don't release their numbers. I just, to me, there is a
Jeff, are we talking about Arkansas State?
There's a combativeness over there right now, and I don't know whether it's Ryan or where it's coming from that I don't really, like, understand. I don't really understand
it. Jeff, to your point, Arkansas State just had a fantastic win for its program. Their program is stopped right now. Are we concerned? And like, as you point out, yes, we hope every single person on, every kid on that team recovers. That's what we hope for. But are we concerning ourselves each and every day with the actual story and the numbers? Like, no.
Doesn't matter to me if it's 42 or 46 or 38, not even a little bit, not at all, or 34 or whatever. So If you're going to refute it, give the actual numbers. And if you're not going to refute it, just don't say anything. Just fine. Don't, they had their report. Let it go. I don't really understand. I don't really understand it, but there you go. So, what I really don't understand is how things got so sort of testy. Test being the wrong word.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I don't understand why things are testy. Like, literally, just like a week ago, this was the cuddly, warmest program in the city. Like, everyone, whatever. And fine, maybe you're someone out there blaming the media. That's fine, too. Like, whatever. I just don't understand why this is happening. It doesn't make any sense
to
me.
Because it felt like a switch just kind of flipped out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I mean, I get the party bus was the reason that it, like, that created, the party bus story created a animosity, right? Or a they screwed us kind of thing. Well, whatever you think of that story, that's where that came from. But then you move on. Like, it isn't helpful.
And then you start arguing about the actual numbers.
And then I said, like, it's just not helpful. And, It's like the radio show that we played yesterday. Do the show. The team. Like, whatever. Move on. I don't understand.
Do the show, bitch.
I don't understand why they don't just release the numbers. And so there you go. But I mean, this week, next week, I would get it. Next week, they're playing UT San Antonio. And if they don't want to say how many, but at that point, you're looking at how many players are going to be missing that game. But right now, if you knew there were 38 players, let's just say, for example, right? If you knew there were 38 players, it doesn't mean there would be 38 next week, because you don't know how long they've been in. You don't know how long. It is no relationship to what it would actually ultimately be. So, okay, here's what we're going to do, because I don't want to talk about this story anymore.
Yeah.
I'm done with it. Like, I'm done with it.
Are you done or are you finished?
I'm done and finished. Okay. Just not interested. I'm not interested. I have another thing I'd like to do.
Go for it.
Well, we're going to come back and we don't have anyone at 10. Oh, we have trivia.
Jeff, come on. Daddy's hot.
I forgot. Kevin, how can I forget that? Oh, and I'm on Matching in Memphis tonight too.
Well,
and we
got to plug
Kevin Sarita trivia.
I mean, not that your appearance doesn't sell itself, but the people have to know.
Oh, God, what am I going to do with this then?
I have no idea.
Because what I was going to say was I have one of the great joys of my life now.
Mm-hmm. Is your puppy?
Is that I have this puppy. Mm-hmm. And the puppy, every time I think about COVID or anything,
arguing
or debates or party buses or anything else, I just
look at him like, all right, we're good.
I go play with a puppy, and I'll probably tweet out a picture of the puppy and put up something fake. I put up on Facebook, and I asked for names of the puppy, potential names. I said, if I'm going to keep this puppy, my position has been, if I'm not going to keep the puppy, and I don't typically keep boy puppies. I only had one of the litter, but I wasn't thinking I was going to keep a boy.
Well, this time you didn't really have a choice.
But this time I only have one, and I'm getting kind of attached to the little effer.
Mm-hmm.
So I might keep him. And so I said to the people, what should I name the puppy? I swear to God, there are more than 350 responses to my what should I name the puppy request. Now they're not all different. A lot of them are weighing in, voting on the same whatever. Like,
right.
I threw out
the 300 includes some people agreeing with
I threw out that I was thinking of the names that I was. My favorite books in the world are A Prayer for Owen Meany and Lonesome Dove.
Mm-hmm.
And
right after the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And the best character in Lonesome Dove is a guy named Gus, and so I was thinking Gus. Or I was thinking Owen. Those are the names that I was thinking about. One of the problems is my college roommate and good friend is named Gus.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that works. Like, can you name a whatever, right?
I mean, at a certain point, if you're worried about, like, people that you know in your life, like that, like, there's the English language, and dog names are limited to begin with. Like, you only have so many choices here.
So, but then it occurred to me, I started thinking of themes, okay? And so then I said, I didn't take this to Facebook, but I'm bringing this to you now. Best Memphis sports themed dog names. Best, it's dog names, but it has to be a Memphis sports theme. All right. And it, and let's, we'll do it for girls. Let's say I happen to have a,
okay, the list I wrote was for boys. Boy, I thought we were trying to name your puppy.
Oh, I told you to do one of each. I said for boys and for girls, but that's fine. It's much harder for girls. I'll give you right now the list that I have for girls, and then we'll just stick with boys. Okay, girls is hard. Memphis sports oriented girl dog names. Okay.
All right.
Here, and then we aren't going to give our lists for the other because we're going to take a break and come back and talk to Jeff Perlman. But people can start thinking and offering their own. Okay, here's the girl names I came up with. Brady. You can name a girl dog Brady, can't you?
Yeah.
Brady's a girl's name.
Yeah, I associate it male, but I don't think of.
Okay,
I mean my brother's name is Connor, and Connor goes both ways.
Penny.
Penny definitely works, obviously.
Okay, how about this one? A lot of these are sort of middle, you know, they can go either.
Right,
either.
But Penny, obviously, okay. Penny Lane.
How about Nikki? Nikki McCray.
Ooh, yes. Nikki, obviously, I think would be, okay. Like that one for sure.
How about this one? Pepper.
Love it.
Right? We know Pepper.
Yes. Pepper Rogers, right?
Pepper Rogers, yeah. And that Pepper, obviously, he's a dude.
Yes,
or
but
was. He passed away this year. God rest him. God rest his soul. But you could Pepper works, right?
Yeah.
How about Cindy, as in Parlo?
Oh yeah, come on.
How about Parlo?
I like that.
Great.
It's two syllable, but it pops.
Rochelle.
A little soft on the beginning, but
not
fine.
Great. I don't think Rochelle's a great dog name. How about this one? Girl dog, Liberty. My first Bernese Mountain Dog was Libby, and her name was Liberty.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Liberty Bull. Liberty. Libby. Liberty. Libby for short.
Is it a little too similar to Liberty or Libby?
Well, I'm not naming. It's just I don't have a girl dog.
Okay,
this is
okay.
Hypothetical girl puppy dog names for human for other people's dogs. I don't have a girl dog to name. How about, I don't think Elma is very attractive. I mean, Elma Roan.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. It feels like a dog that's on its last leg.
Betty Booker. I don't think Betty is great either.
I don't hate Betty for a dog name.
Okay, but I have a good 20.
Because here's the thing that's funny about Betty. I feel like one in five dogs, girl dogs, is some form of Bessie. But yet, if you change the S to T's, like Betty, all of a sudden, like, that's not a dog name. But, like, I swear to God, Bessie is, like, 20% of dog names.
I have a good 20, easy, good Memphis-oriented boy dog names. And so what we're going to do is, because we're trying not to talk about this other story, so we're going to come back, we're going to talk to Jeff Perlman, and then after that, you can submit your nominations at Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, underscore Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. And then we will come back and we will give you the definitive list in the third segment of this first hour of the best Memphis sports boy dog names, including Pepper, by the way. Pepper works that way, too, I think. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back, talk to Jeff Perlman on the other side. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Everywhere you look these days, things are starting to come back. Football, school, the institutions that make up the fabric of our lives. So there's no better time to come back and visit another enduring Memphis institution, Oak Hall. Seriously, if you haven't been back, stop in and see them today. You'll find the same helpful people and the same beautiful clothing. I know I always feel restored just walking through the place. Pick up some shorts or knit shirts from Peter Millar. Get yourself something for the outdoors. I've loved stopping in at Oak Hall on a fall weekend just to browse. And since you'll likely be watching the football games on TV this year, it's a way of getting a little taste of normal back in your lives. During the last 6 months, I think we've all learned how much relationships matter. Relationships with family and friends, and also with the institutions and places that we hold dear. For a whole lot of Memphians, O'Call is one of those places. So stop in and see your old friends sometime soon.
Hey, everybody, this is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
What's up, everybody? This is Rich Kleiman, co-founder of 35 Ventures, alongside my business partner, Kevin Durant. This week on the Boardroom's Out of Office podcast, it's the Cadence 13 crossover event. We join forces with JJ Redick and Tommy Alter and my buddy, Kevin Durant.
My wife, she said to me, maybe you're just not meant to win a championship. I didn't think that was a great thing for her to say. I'm going to be honest with you.
How pissed off did you get when she said that?
When the Warriors won for the first time, she said, we need to get you one. Like, I want you to experience that. But we're later on in our lives, man. We got a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. She's thinking about other things now.
Yeah, you know what? Let me help you out. This is what she was saying to you, I think. She was saying, I do think you deserve one. And I do think you're meant to have one. But don't try playing until 45. You know, like, you can listen for free to this episode and more on the Boardroom's Out of Office podcast on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your shows.
Fall is a season that's a little in the middle. It's sort of the best of two seasons. It's no longer a sweaty summer, but the winter chill is still around the corner. And that's the perfect time to feed and seed your lawn with Scott's Turf Builder. Even better than spring, because the soil is still warm, but the air is getting cool. So your lawn gets the most nutrients in the best combination of temperatures. Feed and seed now with Scott's Turf Builder. And build the best lawn for every season. Scott's, it's good out here.
So are you the type of guy that wants to look put together, but doesn't want to spend hours shopping? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple and convenient. Sign up in just a few minutes. Try new styles in the comfort of your own home. And there's no subscription required ever. So, isn't it time to refresh your look? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
Mr. Clean. Most people know that Mr. Clean Magic Eraser removes crayon and scuff marks from walls, but did you know it even cleans tough kitchen and bathroom messes that are sometimes tough to tackle? Just wet, squeeze, and erase gray soap scum on your bathtub. Erase cloudy hard water spots in your shower. Erase burnt-on stovetop messes. So for all your tough kitchen and bathroom messes, try Mr. Clean Magic Eraser. Mr. Clean.
From muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back at the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jeff Pearlman. Author of a whole lot of tremendous books over the years. You may have read the one on Walter Payton. You may have read the one on the Showtime Lakers. But he has one coming out next week, 22nd. It's called Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the Crazy Years of the Lakers Dynasty. Jeff Pearlman joins me now. Jeff, thank you very much for doing this. You were nearly done with the book when Kobe died. What was that day like for you?
It was shocking and really sad and heartbreaking. I live out here in Southern California. I've been here about 6 years, and it's hard to kind of explain how much Kobe means to people here. It's not just, you know, oh, he was a great basketball player. He kind of represents this thing about work ethic and doggedness and like setting a goal and accomplishing it. He's really come to mean that. And it wasn't sad as a guy who has a book coming out, I swear. It was just sad as a person who knew how much he meant to people out here. It just sucked. You know?
Yeah. In terms of the book coming out, though, it did, I'm sure, ultimately, you, and indeed you addressed this at the beginning of the book, this book focuses on the years of Kobe, Shaq, and Phil when Kobe was a pain in the ass. And so here you are writing this book, one of the first significant books that it's not all Kobe, but it's certainly it's heavily about Kobe. And the portrayal is somewhat of Kobe as a pain in the ass. So how did you cope with that? I mean, we don't have the mature Kobe of he's a girl dad. Like that's to me the most appealing Kobe, the girl dad. Like yeah. That's tremendous. That's not this Kobe. So how do you address that?
It's kind of hard, and I'm trying to figure it out as this book, you know, I start promoting it. I mean, I say repeatedly, as you mentioned, I wrote a author's note at the beginning of the book where I discuss, again, like, this is a sliver of time. This is a growth period. This is 96 to 04. You know, he definitely wasn't the same person at 25 that he was at 41 when he passed. And you just hope people understand that, you know, it's a weird, I'm not gonna lie. It's really, really weird. Because probably 80% of the interviews I did wouldn't be the same now. Like, I don't think people would be as comfortable.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
You know, if you think about it, I don't think people would have been as comfortable slamming Kobe or talking about that time Kobe did this. Or, you know, like Kobe, he had a pretty long record of not being that nice to rookies and free agents in camp, that he kind of treated them like dirt a little bit. And I'm not sure if those people would be sharing those stories after January 26th. So, I don't know. It's a weird one. It is.
This is just, I wasn't going to ask this question, but you just said that, so I'm curious. How does Kobe treating people like dirt differ from very famous Michael Jordan treating people like dirt? Do they differ, or are they linked?
Well, I always think, I mean, you know, when Kobe showed up with the Lakers, he basically was imitating Michael Jordan in a lot of ways. The mannerisms, the approach, he really wanted to be Jordan. That's not like facetious. He really wanted to be Michael Jordan. It's kind of amazing because he almost became Michael Jordan. You know, like we all grew up wanting to be Michael Jordan. Very few of us actually became Michael Jordan. It's like none of us became Michael Jordan, but he actually did. But yeah, no, it's not. It's the same kind of. He did a lot of power tripping with guys, and it's weird. He always viewed people as threats, whether it was like he played summer league after his first and second year. But after his second year, one of the guys on the Lakers summer league team was Jimmy King, the former Fab Five guy from Memphis, from Michigan. And Kobe just treated him like crap and just wanted to abuse and destroy him because he viewed him as a threat. And it was the same when, like, the Lakers signed J.R. Ryder in 2000. You know, he just viewed this guy. He's a shooting guard. He's had some success. It wasn't for Kobe, oh, this is great. We're going to have more firepower. It was, I need to put this guy in his place and show him who's the top dog. And that's part of what drove him and part of what made him tick. And I guess it's okay because it worked for him, but it wasn't the easiest guy always to deal with in that regard.
It's funny because that strikes me, at least the theme with Jordan is he was hard on you because ultimately it would benefit the team. Whereas with Kobe, there seems at least in the early years to be, he was hard on you because he wanted to prove that's a different motivation for being hard on you, to destroy you because he wanted to prove he's the top dog, than because I'm going to be hard on Steve Kerr because ultimately it's going to help us win as a team. It's less, I mean, honestly, like, I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but it's less admirable.
I'm not sure. I agree with you, but I'm not entirely sure I buy the Michael Jordan narrative completely.
Okay. Yeah.
I just think there's a breed of athletes who, like, Shaq was the opposite. You know, Shaq had guys, they'd bring in Jelani McCoy or Mark Madsen or Jamal Sampson, and they'd be his backup centers. Well, Shaq didn't view them as challenges to him. He viewed them as punching bags who were going to get him ready for a game, and that's good, you know, and I'm going to take care of these guys because they're my guys. And I feel like guys like Kobe, guys like Michael Jordan, they just need, they're driven a little bit almost by a weird insecurity that I'm not going to let someone come in here and take my job. And I'm not going to let someone come in here and show they're better than me. I need to reinforce my dominance. It's a weird, it's a weird, it's a little animalistic, but it works for them, I guess.
The book is Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the crazy years of the Lakers dynasty. We know a little bit about the story of how he really should have gone. The Nets should have taken him, and they were going to take him, and then they were scared off from taking him. You squarely put that on Cal, yes?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. The New Jersey Nets had the number 8 pick in the draft, and they told Kobe Bryant's parents, we're taking your son, we're taking Kobe Bryant. And John Nash was a general manager. John Calipari was a first-year coach at the Nets. But Calipari, one of the things in his contract was he had final personnel say. So John Nash was a pretty powerless GM. He could work out deals, but if Cal said, I don't want to do that, he can't do it. So John Nash, they bring in Kobe multiple times. They just think he's phenomenal, and he's great. And if he's there, we're going to take him. So Kobe's represented by Armtelem. And the day of the draft, first Kobe calls, actually, and says, yeah, I've been thinking about it, and I think I want to get away from my parents. And John Nash hears this, and he's like, I don't know. That just sounds kind of fishy. And then Armtelem calls and says, yeah, Kobe doesn't want to play for you guys, so, don't take him. And John Calipari is freaking out. He's like, oh, my God, I can't take this kid. What if he doesn't sign with us, it's going to be a disaster. And John Nash is like, they're bluffing. Don't worry about it. They're bluffing. And right around that same time, David Falk represented Kerry Kittles of Villanova. And Kerry Kittles really wanted to play for the Nets. And David Falk calls Calipari and says, listen, if you do not take Kerry, I'm never going to have any of my players sign with you guys. Oh, my God, what the heck is going on here? I don't know. And Nash is like, listen, man, they're just bluffing. This is how it works. And Calipari's like, I don't know. And right before the draft, he holds a little meeting with the powers that be with the Nets, and he says, all right, here's the deal. If Kerry Kittles is there at number 8, we're taking Kerry Kittles. If he's not there, we'll take Kobe Bryant. And in a lot of ways, the whole thing was orchestrated by Jerry West, who was really good friends with Armtelem. They just decided the best place for Kobe Bryant, a kid with a huge Adidas sneaker deal that was just signed, would be L.A. And Calipari just fell into their hands completely and surrendered. And Kerry Kittles was a very okay NBA player, but he was no Kobe Bryant.
So Kobe goes to L.A., and this is a draft. I mean, I think Iverson was in this draft. Like, this was
– and Ray Allen, Marbury, Camby, Nash.
Hell of a draft.
Yeah.
And as you say, like, Kobe, we think of him as the ultimate and cool now. He was not that then. No?
No. I would say I was my roommate back then, and I lived in New York, and my roommate was the editor of Slam magazine, a guy named Russ Bankson. And if you remember at the time, Slam was kind of the merging of hip-hop and basketball and culture. And it was this really cool magazine with, tats and dreads, and it was just like this thing, and it was cool. And Iverson was the kind of the face in a lot of ways of Slam. And I remember a couple of times they would put Kobe on the cover, and it was just the most awkward fit ever, because he was trying to be this thing, but he wasn't this thing. You know, he was from Italy, and the leafy suburbs of Philadelphia. He was a yes sir, yo ma'am guy, no ma'am guy, very polite, but. He went through a phase. He went through all these different phases in his life, in his career, where he wanted to be Michael Jordan, and he wanted to be Allen Iverson, and he wanted to be Vince Carter, but he never fit in. It was really sad in a way. He's a guy who was a senior in high school, took Brandy to the senior prom. He never even met Brandy before. It was all just for kind of this show and glitz, and he was always trying to be this thing, but he never really was this thing. And it's kind of I think he found it later on after he retired, but it was a slog for a lot of it.
Was it bad with Shaq from the outset?
Yeah, it was pretty bad from the outset. It's not like it was always horrible, but, Shaq, Kobe's rookie year, gave him the nickname Showboat.
Right.
And it was not a compliment. It was, this guy's just hogging the ball. I mean, Kobe really set himself up when he was drafted, and he played for the Lakers Summer League for a team at the Pyramid in Long Beach, and he just would not pass the ball. Ever. And teammates are standing around waiting, no passing. And he reported to training camp with the Lakers, and he actually was injured for part of training camp because he hurt himself playing basketball at Venice Beach, one of the dumbest things ever. And he reports to training camp, and all the players introduce themselves. Hey, I'm Trevor Wilson. Hey, I'm Nick Van Exel. He goes, I'm Kobe Bryant. I'm a rookie. I'm out of high school. And nobody here is going to punk me. And it's like, okay. You know, like, he just set himself up very early on. Shaq is this lighthearted, jolly giant, wanted to serve as a big brother role. And Kobe expresses zero interest in that. Just zero.
You were not able to get an interview with Kobe for this book, but you had a long interview with Shaq, and I love the Phil Jackson story. Tell us about your interview with Phil Jackson.
Well, I didn't know if I would get Phil, and I emailed Jeannie Buss, who I knew from another book I wrote, and I asked her advice, and she said, "Well, I'll email Phil and get back to you." She ultimately gave me Phil's email address, and he wanted to do it over the phone. I said, "Can I come out to Montana?" And he said, "Okay." And I meet him in Montana, and we meet at a coffee shop. And the first thing I said, I'm like, "I really want to thank you for doing this." And he says, "I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for Jeannie." And I'm like, "Oh crap! This is not going to be such a great interview." I thought it'd be an hour. He's like, "I'm going to give you a tour of a lake, Flathead Lake in Montana. Okay, 3-hour drive around the lake. We're going to stop for lunch. Is that okay?" "Yeah, great. We stop for lunch. You want to come back to my house? Why don't you come back to my house?" I go back to his house. We sit on the porch, talk some more. "I'm going to take a nap now, but why don't we grab dinner later?" "Great, we'll grab dinner later." I think I spent 8 hours total with Phil Jackson on that day. He was fantastic. I could not have been nicer, could not have been more interesting. I would say I won the, the $100,000 hedge fund giveaway, spend a day with Phil Jackson. Like, I just happened to win the spend a day with Phil Jackson in Montana prize.
So Phil Jackson is obviously an incredibly thoughtful guy who thinks about group dynamics and the arc of people's lives and all of that. One of the things when we look back at Kobe and Shaq, it's like, boy, that should have worked. It was selfish and stupid. Like, that's, I think, the basic sort of perspective on this is they were silly to not make it work. They could have been even greater than they were. I suspect that's a little silly, and like, I guess the Beatles could have stayed together forever too. Like, I mean, every great group could have stayed together. It overlooks the difficulties real humans have with other real humans. How does Phil look back at it though? Like, how does Phil look back at the fact that this thing shattered? And should it have? Was it inevitable? What's his perspective on it?
Well, he definitely sort of blames a young Kobe for the demolition at the end there. I mean, Kobe made it very clear in 2004 that he probably wasn't coming back. He was probably going to the Clippers. I mean, there's a game when they're playing the Clippers, and he says to Mike Dunleavy, the head coach of the Clippers, "Get me out of here." He makes it very clear he's not going to play with Shaq ever again. And he makes it clear he really doesn't want to play for Phil Jackson again. And Jerry Buss sort of did his all to bring Kobe back. I mean, he made the decision. He basically had a decision to make. I'm either bringing Shaq back and maybe Phil back, or I'm bringing Kobe back. And I think wisely, probably, he decided to bring Kobe back. So Phil, he doesn't, it's kind of like, you know, I'm working on a book about Bo Jackson, and people say, how does Bo Jackson feel about not being in the Hall of Fame? He doesn't give a crap. Like, it does not burden him one iota. And I don't think Phil Jackson sits there and goes, "Oh man, we could have won 12 right. titles if only." But I don't think he cares. Like, it kind of reminds me of when people say, "I wrote a book about the '86 Mets," and people will be like, "Man, that team should have won more World Series." And I'll say, "Yeah, maybe, but Dwight Gooden and Darryl Strawberry were cocaine addicts, so they weren't going to win more World Series." Like, but you know, Shaq and Kobe did not want to play with Shaq. He was done playing with Shaq after when they lost to Detroit in the '04 Finals. They had a little team function afterwards, and he walks in, and he walks up to Kareem Rush, his backup on that team, and he says, quote, "I ain't playing with that MMF ever again." Like, that's pretty much it. It wasn't going to happen anymore, you know? So there's no, like, oh, they could have won right. X number, because they couldn't have, because it wasn't going to happen.
Right. The reality was it was not going to happen. And you had a wonderful interview with Shaq where his daughter chimed in the midst of it, and I just think it's a revealing little tale.
Oh yeah, he was great, and he's first. I just want to say he's probably the best. Him and Brett Favre are probably the best teammates I've ever written about. Maybe Keith Hernandez too. Like, just all time great teammates, and just buying teammate suits and flying people in and paying for the parents of teammates' funerals and on and on and on. And I was sitting with him in Atlanta, his phone rings, and he's like, hey, excuse me for a minute. And it's his daughter, and she's FaceTiming. And a friend of hers' parent had died. And she was just saying, Daddy, I don't know if you heard, but so-and-so. And he just goes, listen, I'm paying for the funeral. Make sure they know I'm paying for the funeral. Don't let them pay for anything. Okay, just make sure I get the bills and blah, blah, blah. All right, bye, sweetie. And that was it. And it wasn't for show, and it wasn't for anything. He's just, there's something about that guy. I really feel like in a lot of ways he's taken the mantle. This is going to sound a little bit of a stretch, but I believe it, of when Muhammad Ali, he used to be this ambassador where everywhere he would go, people would feel good seeing him and dealing with him. I feel like Shaq has a lot of that, and it really shows when you're with him. He just has a way about him.
I saw in a previous interview you assembled a list of people who you think fit this category. They make you feel – and your list was Dolly, Snoop, Magic, and Shaq. As the they walk in and you feel just fabulous about them. You're just you feel better to be in their presence. I think I can give you Dolly. Snoop is an interesting one. That's what Snoop has become. That's sort of interesting. And Magic, but isn't Barkley on that list as much as Magic? And Magic, honestly, has become a little bitter in some ways. Like he's got a little more. Like there's a little more edge to Magic than there used to be. I think Barkley definitely should be on that list. No.
All right, so I think I agree with you on Magic. I think 5 years ago, Magic was actually the guy on that list.
Absolutely.
And I've been, so he is so charming in person, and the smile is just, it's just brilliant, you know. I think Barkley, the only thing is, I think a lot of people don't recognize Charles Barkley. Like, if my mom sees Shaq, she knows who Shaq is. I don't think she knows who Charles Barkley is. And she knows who Dolly Parton is. And she actually knows who Snoop Dogg is. So we'll take Magic off the list. I was a little hedging on Magic, but definitely Snoop Dogg, Dolly Parton, Shaq are my big three.
The book is Three Ring Circus. He's Jeff Pearlman. Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the Crazy Years of Lakers Dynasty, available wherever you get your books. I could talk to you forever about this, but let me just – the things that happened, I had – like a lot of them I totally forgot, like that Magic made a comeback in the midst of all this that didn't go well. That Phil left and came back. I had forgot that. That Rodman was on this team briefly. That Karl Malone, there was the Karl Malone and Gary Payton year, the same time as the rape stuff was going on. And then J.R. Ryder pops up and makes a wonderful appearance, a complete lunatic. And so I could have you ask you stories about all of them, but I'm going to focus on J.R. Ryder. Tell me your favorite J.R. Ryder story.
My favorite J.R. Ryder show is trying to interview J.R. Ryder. I had an address but no phone number, and I figured I'll just go knock on his door. I'm not. This would be one of those things where if you could put on your show, you know, warning, don't try this at home. This would be the moment, you know, like I'm gonna go knock on J.R. Ryder's door. So I drive out to Arizona, had to be there anyway, and I knock on this door. And a little kid answers, and I'm like, hey, I'm looking for J.R. Ryder. Is he here? And kid goes, and the mom comes, and she's like, can I help you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm looking for J.R. Ryder. My name's Jeff Perlman. I'm a writer, blah, blah, blah. She closes the door. I hear her and an adult male kind of, who, wait, what, blah, blah, blah. J.R. Ryder comes to the door, and he goes, who are you? My name is Jeff Perlman. I'm a journalist, and I have my USFL book. I wrote this book, and I'm working on a book about the Lakers. And he goes, no, bro, no, 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 bro. You don't just knock on someone's door, bro, no. And he's not happy. And he opens his little screen door or whatever and comes out. And he's like, you just show up, bro, bro. And then he goes, so what's the book you're holding? You wrote that? I'm like, yeah. He goes, what's that about? The USFL? Is that Trump? Is that Trump football, USFL? I'm like, yeah. He's like, so what are you doing here? Why are you here? Well, I'm working on a book about the Kobe, Shaq, Laker, that kind of era. You were there, obviously. But... all right, man, I'll talk to you. All right, we can talk. That's cool. We'll talk. And he ended up giving me 2 hours. I swear to God, I thought J.R. Ryder was going to punch me in the face. And he was fantastic and could not have been a better interview. So it always pays a knock on the door.
I already got a text. Can't wait to read that book. So, folks, you can get the book wherever your favorite books are sold. Pre-order it. I guess you just have to pre-order at this point, right? Coming out the 22nd
on Amazon?
Yeah, I imagine if you pre-order, though, you'll probably get it on time.
Probably get it on time. It's Jeff Perlman, Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the crazy years of the Lakers dynasty. Jeff, thanks very much, and best of luck with it, of course.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Jeff Perlman. We got to take a break. Oh, I promised you the definitive list of boy sports, Memphis sports dog names. Do we have any people offered candidates? Do we have candidates on Twitter?
We have a few offerings.
Yeah, and I have the definitive list. And you're going to have dogs, ladies and gentlemen. So you're going to get a pencil and write this down when we come back. And after that, we will talk to Chris Harrington. And after that, we're going to play Writer Than Right trivia. It's a busy day here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, this is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about Cooper Systems for years, the amazing work that Lee and Lauren Cooper have been doing at Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah office park. In fact, for 8+ years, because Cooper Systems, they've been a sponsor of the Gary Parrish Show since day one, and they've never left. That's a testament to them. It's a testament to you, and you've heard me tell you about the great work they're doing at Cooper Systems for a long, long time. Now it's time to hear from you guys.
Got a great deal on an Apple Mac from Cooper Systems. Literally half the price of the big box stores I just searched before I heard about Cooper.
From the road a lot, and one day my laptop got the epic blue screen of death, and I thought I lost all my files. Cooper Systems was able to retrieve everything and even installed a new drive to make my computer faster and better than ever.
I'm one of those people Gary always refers to as the looking up stuff you're not supposed to guy. Yep, that leads to computer viruses. Cooper can take care of you, and like the ad says, they won't judge you.
That's Cooper Systems. Call them 360-9679 on the web. You can check them out at coopersystems.com.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. If you're average and you're looking for a new pair of running or walking shoes, I suggest you go to an average shoe store where they'll sell you a pair of average shoes built for the average athlete with average size feet. But here's the thing. You're not average. No one is. We all exercise differently. We run differently and walk differently. And our feet come in all sorts of widths and lengths. That's why, at the New Balance Memphis store, we employ fit specialists who will conduct an in-depth analysis of your foot's size and shape, along with your gait, and then determine the best New Balance shoes custom fit to you. Because New Balance isn't your average shoe, and you're not average either. Experience the difference an unaverage custom fit makes today at the New Balance Memphis store, located in Cordova Shopping Center on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins, and joining me today is Suzanne Hobbs, Director of Communications with Boomer Naturals. It's a U.S.-based wellness company that also offers America's best-selling face masks. Thank you, Suzanne, for joining me today. One thing Boomer does that I just love is your USA company donates masks to various charitable organizations. Could you tell me more?
That's a big part of who we are at Boomer Naturals. We believe in giving back, and so far we've donated over 140,000 masks across the country to homeless shelters, soup kitchens, Native American organizations, veterans groups, places that have reached out and said, we need masks and we can't get them. So for every online order that is placed at BoomerNaturals.com, we are donating one mask for that order. So we appreciate all your listeners helping us continue to help others. And all I have to say is our masks are comfortable and breathable and protective because of that nano silver in all three layers of cloth.
Thanks, Suzanne. For more information and to order, go to BoomerNaturals.com or just stop by your local CVS pharmacy and be sure to ask for Boomer Naturals nano silver masks and gaiters. Boomer's got you covered.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
These days, it's okay to do some things halfway. Like wearing your pajama bottoms on a work call. But managing your prescriptions shouldn't be one of them. That's why CVS has a proprietary search tool to find ways that may help lower your prescription costs. And we'll deliver them, too. No wonder CVS customers are better than most at staying on prescriptions, which tends to make you healthier. Come in or call today and get a free prescription savings review at CVS. Savings vary. Not all patients eligible for savings. Ask pharmacist for details.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Who they want? Jeff Calkins. 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 Who they want?
Jeff Calkins. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Many thanks to Jeff Perlman for joining us. All right. In our continuing effort to talk about anything other than Memphis football and COVID, we have assembled the definitive list of boy dog names with a Memphis sports theme. What was offered on Twitter? What do we have on Twitter that was offered? Do we have some suggestions?
So a couple of that I've seen thus far, number one, this was submitted a couple times, working for either a girl or boy dog was Conley.
Yep, Conley.
Also, Rob Laurie submitted this one. I had it on my list. Rex for Rex Dockery.
I think that's pretty good. I think that's got to probably make our definitive list. Finch was suggested. Mm-hmm. I like that one, too. I think Finch's got to kind of be on there, don't you?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Here are some that I have that I want to toss out to you. This is not my definitive list. These are ones that I think I've rejected, okay? Pete.
For Pranica?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong with Pete?
Nothing.
A dog named Pete?
Good, solid name.
I actually think it's nice. So, Conley, obviously a good one. Dorsey or Joey?
So, I had Dojo and Jojo for Dorseyus, but yes. I like Joey, too.
Which is better, Dorsey or Joey?
I kind of like Joey.
Joey's a good name for a dog.
Yeah.
Pete and Joey, maybe they could be on our list. Okay, what do you I don't love Conley.
So I had...
It's fine. I think it's better for a girl.
So I had Captain or Cap for Conley.
Captain.
Yeah, the captain.
Okay, Captain. Captain. Captain's not a bad name for a dog. Is that clearly Mike Conley, though? It's also generic.
Correct. So,
I don't know how Memphis it is.
Yeah, I completely understand that. And also, you don't want...
Captain's a good name for a dog.
Yeah.
And it could be girl, too. Like, girls could be captains.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, so go ahead. What else you got? Who's on your list?
So I put Pau Gasol.
Pau Gasol? Mm-hmm. What are you really calling that dog? Pau?
Pau.
I'm that is not making our definitive list. It's clever, but I'm not. It is very clever, but I'm not putting it on our definitive list of 10.
This one is, I know there's a lot out there, but Zeebo.
I think Zeebo's got to be on there. It's on my list of 10. I think it's got to be on there. Yep. Okay, Zeebo.
I put Pax.
From Paxton?
Yeah.
You know, that dog's never going to make it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That dog might get cut. So it's got a lot of tools, but not missing some stuff upstairs, you know?
Yep.
So we can't have Pax.
Okay. Bruce?
I have Bruce.
Okay.
I think Bruce is good. I actually had Isaac, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Bruce is better. Now, it's not clear that that's – but that's okay. It's not clear that that's Isaac Bruce. But is that the Bruce you were going with there?
Yes.
Yeah, I had Bruce on mine. I'm going Bruce. That one makes the cut. So far, the ones that I think – Rex, Bruce, Zeebo, and Finch – I think are on our top 10 list. Any others you got?
Yeah, I had a few others. This is more of a deep cut, but this kid was growing up. This kid was like a legend in terms of just pure athleticism. But for in honor of Duke Calhoun, Duke.
Duke was a good player. I'm afraid that they might think you're talking about Peters University.
Sure.
So I think for that reason, good dog. It's also, don't you think there's a lot of Dukes?
Yeah, but I mean, there's
too common.
As you said, there's a lot of captains. In honor of whoop that trick, trick.
Trick.
Yeah. Trick. And also you could do like Tony Allen trick or treat.
Trick. Okay.
I had a couple of Memphis ones, but not Memphis sports ones. Okay, I didn't know if you wanted those.
There's a bunch of good Memphis ones. Yeah. Like, summer. You could do summer, right?
Sure.
I had a whole list. Gus is good. Make it there too. Right. Memphis opens up a whole different category. How about Gibson, Shelby, Huey?
I had Stacks.
Yeah.
Duck for the Peabody Ducks. King, in honor of Booker T and the MGs, Book. And then in honor of Reverend Al Green, Rev. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to do sports ones. So here are my other sports ones that have not been mentioned yet. I'm putting Pepper on that list, on our top 10.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. You fine with Pepper making it? So now we're up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 definites. Rex, Bruce, Zeebo, Finch, and Pepper. I have the other one that I think, there's two that I really think have to be on the list. Sox.
Love it. I'm sad I forgot that one.
Sox has clearly got to be on that list. So that gets us to 6. How about Claude Humphrey, Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
Claude's a good name
Claude's
for a dog.
Claude's a good dog name. It's got the consonant at the beginning. It's sharp.
You don't know a lot of Claude.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, we're up to 7. So then the other ones I had were, Tony, Penny, Liberty, and George. George, our man play. George. I want to play.
And it he does wants work. To play. I want to play, George.
We got to put George on there. George always wants to play.
Yes.
So Sox, Rex, Bruce, Claude, Zeebo, Finch, Pepper, George. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Then our other choices for our other two are Tony. You got to put Penny. How do you not have Penny? If you got it, right? That's got to be
it's free
there.
Space.
9. Free space. So then for the last one, it's either Tony, Liberty, Trick, Duke, Captain,
Rex,
Joey,
did you say Rex?
Pete. Oh,
I thought
Rex
you wanted
is already
Rex.
On there. Rex is already on there.
Okay.
Rex is already on there. Pete. I'll let people can fill in their own. We give a 9. You can fill in your own 10th. The top 10, the top 9 sports Memphis dog Memphis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.